Well, good morning, everybody. Another hour of truth here. I'm Paul Muller, got Philip Walthall on my right, and further out in right field, Scott Bishop. Way off on the other side of the field in left field is James Usler on Skype, those two. So I'm sitting here and I queried everybody about what we're going to talk about and I got no help at all. So, okay, we're done. Talk to y'all later. No. You know, I was sitting there. I remember because Steve was talking about the hiding place. And it's been a long time. Many, many years ago, I saw her, Corey Ten Boom, on TV being interviewed. She was great, way old then. She was, she was probably in her mid 70s at that point. And she lived to be something like 91 or something. But her, that was essentially her story. And it, thank you, Gail. She likes her sound. I'm sitting here listening to myself, and I'm going, my sound is awful. But, you know.
I was thinking about you singing last week. That was awesome.
Yeah,
it was. Came through at the end of that.
Yeah,
song.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
I thought that was James at first. I was like, who was that? Is that James? What's going on there? I seen you stop singing, but I heard a voice come through.
It always helps when the computer operator knows how to operate the computer. just saying. She had her little experience there with Nazi Germany. Is very reminiscent about what I would have thought it would be like for the Church of Smyrna. Like, man, when they've got the gun to your head and they're telling you to deny Jesus, that could be in Iraq or Afghanistan today, but I mean, it's the same thing. The question is, are you gonna take the faithful position and not deny Jesus and take the consequences, or are you going to take the expedient route to stay alive? Because when I opened today with, you know, total full disclosure is, what is the cost when you count the cost? What is the cost of following Jesus? Well, it costs everything. And he is, while it may appear, especially to onlookers, that he's confiscating stuff left and right, he gives you back your what provisions you need to do what he's called you to do. And then he blesses above and beyond that which you could ask or think. The more you learn about him, the more you learn his ways, the more you learn what it looks like when he's operating in you, the more you learn how faithful his word is and how faithful he is to accomplish the thing he says he's going to do, the more you learn, the less you don't have anything to look around and say, gee, I've lost all this stuff, because you perceive that you have gained much more. And I'm sitting there listening to that Petra song. Petra song says, and we can live forever. You know, that's really the least thing I think about. What I think about is, how is it in the here and now? What is it like to preach his word? What is it like to minister his word to those around me? What is it like? That's a reward enough in itself. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And that's where in my weakness is he made strong. You know, that would that's really all that matters in life is accomplished in that I get to preach Jesus and him crucified. And I get to see and watch him operate in other people's lives.
Operate in his kingdom in today, as now.
Today, here and now. And there's so much involved in that, that when you have the eyes to see, the less you think about as the end goal of this whole thing, the thing you're pressing towards to get to, it isn't eternal life. It's the next opportunity to see how good the Lord is. The next thing. I press on to the mark of the higher calling of Jesus Christ.
Some of that you're talking about is experience too, you know. Looking at your statement a little bit ago, learn his ways and having a confidence that, you know, for him to show up and move and what, and you know, you have that experience, and that experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, looking at how awesome he is and what he's able to do, and pressing toward that mark, that one day at a time, stepping out in that faith on a daily time to go and be, have that opportunity to live in him.
Yeah.
For the day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Take being part of taking ground for Jesus.
Yeah.
Partaking in that.
Yeah.
Because that battle's now.
Yeah. So that's kind of where my mind's been going. Where has y'all's mind been going? The two Skype brothers.
You know, along the same lines of what you're talking about, if you value those things of God, if you value serving him, if that's what, you know, you desire, then all those other things that are in your life, you're willing to sell them to get that sort of pearl of great price, right? That thing that's better. To have that opportunity to serve Jesus now and in the future.
I'm laughing, not at you, I'm laughing at Steve in the chat room.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you do have a point, Steve. Brother Steve, you have a point. It's scary. You never know what's on the back end of these questions.
What question was it?
Hey, you don't ever ask a question you don't know the answer to first.
What's on their minds?
Oh, I got it. That took a second. Thanks for drawing that out.
We know what was on his mind.
Paul, you talked about...
Crickets. Go ahead.
You said that the thing you think of least is eternal life. And if our focus is on our eternal life, we're not doing the will of the Lord. Our focus is to go out and preach the gospel and do his will. And through that, we can attain eternal life. But if it's all about us, we're not actually serving the Lord.
Yes.
I hope that makes sense.
Well, really, you know, everybody has eternal life. It's just whether or not you're going to be in hellfire and damnation for all eternity, or if you're going to be in the kingdom with him.
Absolutely. And that's something I think we forget. But that's the truth. And
so choose you this day who you're going to serve.
Serve, yeah, absolutely.
Reminds me of the people with the talents, you know, the one that went and buried it in the ground, and then it was taken away.
Yeah, you know, when I think of that, James, maybe it's a train of thought not to go down, I don't know. However, when I think of that, those talents, I look at the testimony that you have, the testimony, that personal testimony that you have, what the Lord's done in your life. What do you go and do with that? You know, I look at, well, not even just that. I mean, you look at the love He's given you. What do you do with that? We use that to glorify Him and go tell others that they can partake of His goodness as well. That they can partake and have a testimony as well. Or do we just take the things He's given us and just hide them away? Don't share them at all. Don't be part of that body and hold that hand out. Sharing the gospel. Sharing the power of the gospel, what He's done in your life. And
the old Dead Sea metaphor. You can be the Sea of Galilee or you can be the Dead Sea. Which one do you want to be? What the two that are different, the one that's dead has no outlet. And the Sea of Galilee does. So the Lord pours it in and you pour it out. That's the grace, mercy, joy. It just life more abundantly. It's the goodness of the gospel message, the goodness of our Heavenly Father is that's a great message.
Amen.
It's worth telling whether anybody hears it or not.
And that's right. Whether if you tell 10,000, not one here, doesn't matter. Look at Noah. I mean, the one that believed was Noah. That was it. However, it's for that opportunity that others can get on board. I forgot what I was going to say here. Oh, crap.
You broke it.
Let's see if I fix this thing up real quick.
Feel like the headphone just fell apart.
All right, there you go.
Sweet.
Try not to move too much next time.
Now you know you have a hard head.
And where I was getting at, man, if you have a testimony of the Lord, you know, I think about the guy that Jesus came to. I forget which town it was, but he had many devils, and so much that he was bound with chains and fetters. And, you know, Jesus cast the devils out of him, rebuking the swine, and he goes, man, I want to, you know, he comes in the boat, I want to come with you, Jesus. No, go to your town and go tell them what good things God has done for you. You know, that's all you need is your testimony to go share the gospel with somebody. And if you got a testimony of how God's been good to you, just go preach it, man. Go share it. Don't put that light under a bushel, man.
Yeah, if you're not sharing it, then you're like that Dead Sea.
That's right.
You're like the guy with the talent in the ground.
Yeah.
Amen.
Light under a bushel. Candle under a bushel, I should say. You know, there's some back and forth about in the chat room about counting the cost and that kind of thing.
I'd like to have Melanie type up here.
And the issue, I think, especially when it comes to me about wanting full disclosure, is I'm not really sure that there's any stake in the game if you haven't seen that there's a cost to this and it been choosing it nonetheless to pursue Jesus. Because if you don't see it that way, then I don't know, if I couldn't see it that way, then I wouldn't be, have any kind of sureness of my commitment. You know, Jesus kind of, you know, said nobody goes out and starts to build a house without counting the cost, lest he might find that he's humiliated in the end and doesn't have enough money to finish it. And everybody sees that he didn't do the job right. He didn't count the cost. It never is about stuff. It's more about the totality of the deal. Friends. Sometimes possessions. Sometimes jobs or bank accounts or who knows. But it's, you lose that which is going to impede your pursuit and understanding of the gospel, and you let Jesus add it back according to, as you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. That's what it says. That's what Jesus said. He that, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I want the things he adds unto me, not the stuff that I labored for in ignorance and rebellion. I don't want cursed things in the camp. Amen. I'm perfectly willing to let him take that stuff and give to me that which I need to do what he's called me to do. That's the only stuff that matters. And I have found that he blesses abundantly above that which you could ask or think in doing that. He's much better than you could ever imagine. That's the stuff that I want to accumulate. I want to accumulate the stuff that's blessed of him. I want to accumulate people that are blessed of him. Amen. That's the diametrically opposed difference between counting the cost and choosing that to be all right, because now I have something in the game here, and it was worth me finding out about Jesus to count all that stuff as dung, as Paul says, dung, all that degrees, all the letters of recognition from the Sanhedrin and all,
means nothing.
Nothing to him. Nothing at all.
I mean, just to partake of his love.
That he may know him and the power of his resurrection. That was what mattered to Paul. He counted the cost. And he said, you know what? All that stuff that went before, ding, 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 zeros. Nothing. So, you know, that's what I mean when I say count the cost. What it cost me, I didn't need, and what I got is above and beyond which I can
better
ask
than,
to think.
And better than you deserve.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, just to partake in his love, in his grace, in his mercy, just to partake in him,
yep,
is the ultimate. I mean, that's where your joy is filled. And that's where it's just the place where you just want to be. And nothing else matters.
Yeah.
To see others come on board, partake of his love. See others enter into the body. To see others receive the goodness of what the Lord has for them.
Yeah.
That's joy.
To see them wrapping their arms around him and hanging on for dear life as he takes them to the next thing.
And we come together as a family, as a group of something that he has done through his power. That's awesome. I mean, is it not just a time? I mean, when I go and I visit James, it's a time. When I go and I visit in Texas, it's a time. When I go and I see my brother Rick and Sue, it's a time. When I go and I come over here and see you, Paulie, it's a time. You have that fellowship with one another, like faith, and partake of His love. That's a joy. There were some hard times through, my growing and some long sufferings. You know what? It makes the time that people that was long suffering with me and intercessed with me so much sweeter. And to be able to extend that grace where you see another come on board and you be able to partake in the Lord's doing, that's nothing more fulfilling.
Absolutely.
Nothing more fulfilling.
Amen. And out there in the world, what you see is sort of, I don't know what the word would be, but I guess it's like a zero-sum game where if I got something, then you can't have it, or if you've got it, I can't have it, right? So in the world, you try to heap all these things onto yourselves, but in the Lord, there's plenty for everyone.
Plenty
there
to go
is
around.
No lack. There is no want. Just because somebody else gets it doesn't mean it diminishes what you got in any way, you know, shape or form. I mean, the place where each and every one of us needs to be is in that place where we can count all those things of this world as dung and seek after, you know, those things, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and get those things that He adds on to us. And, you know, we'll add back those things that, you know, we gave away if they're, you know, proper in His sight, and trust Him, count Him faithful that promised, and move forward in Him.
That's right. You know, some of that stuff that I turned my back on and walked away from did come back. But that's just part of how good the Lord is.
And amen. And some of that stuff you turned your back on, it left.
It stayed gone.
You weren't left wanting because of it either. You know what I mean?
And you know, I'm just taking a look at Paul. I mean, what he walked away from was nothing worth hanging on to.
No, it wasn't. And I was hanging on for dear life.
Was nothing worth hanging on to. I know I was there. Nothing that I had was worth hanging on to. And you see what just stepping out of that, letting go of those things, going just letting go, going forward in the Lord, and then it's just the testimony of the Lord is amazing.
And the counsel I was getting was so contrary to everything the world teaches you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely contrary. Did not make any sense at all to me. And because that's the only teaching I'd gotten up to that point. And that's a shame. But, you know, I thought the honorable thing was just hang out here and pay all this severance pay out until it zeroes up, but trying to pay off the house loans and all this other kind of stuff. None of that was worth anything, and I didn't own a house. The bank owned the house.
And you know, and it really,
that's how good the Lord is.
And you know, and the thing is, and you own this house, but never mind the stuff. I mean, that's just one thing. You know what I mean?
That's the Lord's just good. I mean, I didn't do anything to get this.
Amen. That's what I'm saying. I said, never mind the stuff in the sense of He not only blessed you above that you can ask and think and given you something that you just outright have. That's just one thing. That's just the stuff thing that's really neither here nor there.
Nothing
I mean,
to something is a substantial shift.
No, it's a blessing of the Lord, and I don't count it as being nothing. I mean, you hear what I'm saying? But what I'm going to is, never mind just that stuff. But the people.
Yeah.
You got people that love you, Paul. You didn't have people that loved you then.
That's true.
You had people that, except those that were
that one. There was that one.
Davey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except those, and you had Ann and yeah. It, but except those that you were away from, the Lord gave you abundant time with them.
Yeah.
And surrounded you by people that loved you and cared for you.
Yeah.
And what you had was people that were taking from you, stealing from you, sucking you dry.
Yeah, that's true.
And the all those things, that's where I'm going. I mean, you got people and the things and all those things that you had were nothing worth hanging on to. And what he's given you was mightily abundantly
above you. Love that, which you ask or think.
Exactly. And then what he's got, and just in your family, because I know you were hanging on to ministering to your family. We have some fruit of you going forward in the Lord, and have some fruit of the Lord redeeming some of those times. He's bringing some of that family back. Well, one that I don't know if you'd really even have around me, but I'm here. I mean, you're stuck with me. Sorry about that. But, you know, your others, you know, PJ and Hannah that come back around. I mean, you just see the testimony of the Lord moving mightily in the sense of, yeah, they're not 100% for the Lord. I get that. But I'm not looking at what they're able to do. I'm looking at what God is able to do.
Amen.
In the midst of in their lives. But you see them coming and getting some good news.
My point, really, you know, in following this line, especially in my personal experience, is because in the face of the council seeming to be the absolute wrong-headedest thing that anybody could good counsel. I yet said, you know what? This is the only person that I have any confidence in that knows anything about any confidence that they know anything about the Lord that they're preaching. So I'm going to choose to believe this and do what they're counseling me to do. And it had, you know, some consequences that I was batting around a little bit with no particular place to call home. You know, I had places to stay, but it wasn't a home. It was somebody else's home, maybe. It was somebody else's camper. In a sense, all the provision that was made for me then was coming from Brother Davey. And it was his camper. Ricky's his son. And, you know, I was blessed in that too. But the Lord was looking out for me. And some of that turning away again was, you know, following them out to Texas. And if I, you know, I started to think what would have happened had I not done that. But what happened was the Lord had opportunity to move in my life. And he, you know, in the meantime, in time between those two major events, you know, I had gotten healed from a blood clot. I sought him out. He was in Texas. I was in South Carolina to go get healed. He was in Port Arthur when I got there. And the Lord healed me. And the power of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, the graciousness of the Lord, the truthfulness, his faithfulness to his word. His truth, his word is truth, and he accomplishes his word. And you learn actually walking around with somebody who has the confidence that that's going to happen. You watch him operate, and you see how the Lord moves in him for other people. And that that becomes an example that you can draw from, and it adds a dynamic into your life that you had never imagined having. That the dunamis, the power of God, when it has an opportunity to operate in your life, not for you necessarily, but for those who will hear your testimony and how good the Lord is. That's how good He is. He takes somebody who was not His and turns him into a minister of His goodness. Somebody who has been an enemy in rebellion to the Lord and His word and His ways. Similar to those people in the desert who died in the desert, but I didn't want to die in the desert, man. I wanted to live and figure out how to be pleasing God. He gives you the desires of your heart. He's cleansed your heart, and the desires are different. It's easy to give somebody the desires of their heart when their heart is to please Him. How much Phil, the daddy, want to give to his children when they seek to be pleased, making you pleased? How does that feel?
Feels good. It makes me want to bless them. Mike.
That's the example. You know, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more your heavenly Father? You give good things to those who love Him and seek to serve Him.
And you know, just that, your point, you know, I get a little teary-eyed because looking at the times of my daughters, I love my daughters very much, and there's times where, you know, I see my daughters wanting to serve, wanting to please. That's a blessing. That blesses me so much. Nothing like it. And I'm being evil, like you said. That's pleasing to me.
Yeah, I could have picked out a couple of more evil ones, but you'll do for a starter.
Yeah. No, I don't mind.
No, I didn't mean more evil than you. I just meant more than you. Other people other than you, not a degree of evil. There, because that we are eat up with the evil, and were it not that He was able to cast that stuff. All right, they need to turn Phil up. He's on the first one. All right, let's see if that'll do it. He's pegging the meter here, so.
Am I? I got this thing closer to my mouth here. See if that does a little bit better.
All right,
cool. Got a
sweet.
There you go, sweet.
We're all eat up with the evil. But, you know, the Lord, when he takes all that sin and covers it with the blood of Jesus Christ, it's gone. It's erased.
And you don't have to partake of it.
You don't have to partake
of it. It might be hanging out there trying to nip at you. You don't have to listen to it anymore. It's going to be the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Was it not too long ago? You just listened to Steve here, and Steve's talking about how Dave was kind of mocking him one time. You know, I'm afraid of my old man. He goes, and what Davey says is, I laugh at my old man. You know, we can all do that. Yeah. That's the freedom. That's the gift that He's given us. Partake of His love, His grace, His mercy, His mind, or get caught up in that evil. We don't have to.
Well, it's not just that we can be eat up with the evil. It is. You know, you don't even have to be a believer, but you recognize that relationship with your children when they're seeking to please you. That's even more testimony of the evidence of your Heavenly Father. How much more? this God that you don't know and don't serve is able to give good things to those that will choose him.
Oh, amen.
And that's what it comes down to, is choosing him and choosing to take that advice that's contrary to anything that you've ever heard before. You know, that's where the rubber meets the road for, you know, everybody, is are you going to make that choice, the appropriate one? Last week I had, it was my cousin who's, you know, he's had some issues. He had some drug problems and some other things, and he's on probation. And, you know, I got word that he was having a hard time, and somebody asked me to give him a call. So I give him a call, and, you know, he's all bent out of shape, and, you know, everything's horrible. He can't do anything. And I chatted with him for probably an hour or so, and, you know, he calmed down, and I gave him some advice and some things in which he could do. I was able to, you know, share the gospel with him and, you know, talked about a lot of things. And it seemed like, you know, he had a clear choice before him on how to move forward, you know, in the Lord and make his life better by getting rid of a lot of the trash that he had around him. Nice. And he had, you know, he asked that I give, you know, his probation officer a call, talk with him about some things and do this other stuff, and I told him I would. And, you know, Monday I tried calling the probation officer, Tuesday I did, you know, I'm not getting through. And I ended up calling him, say, hey, you know, I'm having trouble getting a hold of this guy, you know, what's going on here? And what he told me was, oh yeah, I decided to do this, which was completely opposite the advice I was giving him. You know, and he no longer had that probation officer. Something else had changed in this other thing. And what it was, you know, in the midst of it, he was happy to hear what I was sharing with him. But when it came down to it, somewhere in his head, he came up with this idea. And to him, it seemed like a great idea, man. And, you know, I don't need to, you know, do the other thing, and I don't have that horrible thing. I got this other idea. And to him, that was the way to go. And, well, you know, hey, I'm here for him. Everybody else is here for him and all. And I hope that he eventually makes the choice to, you know, choose the Lord. But, you know, what happens to us is we get that idea and we think in our own minds that that's, you know, with our own understandings, if you will, that that is the way. But it's not. You know, one of the things you were talking about with Paul is, you know, he chose that other way. I mean, I chose that other way. I know that, you know, Phil, you have, everybody that's on here has made that choice to one degree or another. And it's getting to that point where we make that choice, trust Jesus, and move forward in him. I mean, that's where it has to happen.
Amen. And that's where it does happen. And, you know, as a guy that seemed like he had struggled and talked to you, and as a guy that has had some history in that, you know, I know, Scott, you're not done with them. And I know that you, it's not like you don't, it, you're not done with them, or the Lord's not done with them, and you have a, I'm assuming this, but you know, just kind of looking at from my experience and stepping back, is, man, his own ideas got him in that place. My own ideas got me in a mess of places. Almost got me killed a few times. That's leaning on my own understanding. And, you know, praise God through His grace and His mercy that, and people intercessing for me, that wasn't my end, that I didn't stay there and die there, but yet had more opportunity to take heed to the counsel that was given, and more opportunity to grab a hold of that grace that was offered and extended out. Because really, essentially what you're doing there, Scott, is you are extending out that grace and mercy by giving him counsel, by talking with him, giving him that counsel, and giving him the gospel up front, most importantly. Because that where he has the opportunity to make that choice. And you know what? It might be, Scott, he makes that choice, it falls all apart, he gives you a call and says, that didn't work. And then you have opportunity yet again to say,
Well, this is why, brother. Because I believe, I know for me, I can speak for myself, I was one who took a while, very hard-headed, and it took a while. But yet, the Lord was gracious and merciful to me, and yet gave me more opportunity to grab a hold on to His hand.
Well, amen, you know, and I left it that I was, you know, here for him and, you know, willing to chat with him whenever, you know, he thought it was right.
For, for those that are not in the chat room, you might want to answer vocally Davey's question, Brother Davey's question. So what happened with him? What happened, Scott?
Well, I mean, right now, he made a decision to head back to, Syracuse. He was away from there, and Syracuse is where all his friends are that, you know, his old crew that he used to hang out with, you know, with all the drugs and the partying and everything else. And he's made this choice thinking, oh, well, I can go back there. I can just stay away from them. I can, you know, be around them but not be with them and find a job and get my life right, you know, with the state, essentially, and then have more options. And, I mean, the things that I was sharing with him was getting himself right with the Lord and getting out of all that prison of the state and, you know, the people around him and being free, completely free. And I guess he took this path. And right now, we sort of left it, hey, you know, I'm here for you, man. Give me a call. I'm willing to chat with you. And, you know, I've been keeping him in prayer. And I trust that, you know, the Lord will work in his life and bring him to a point where he can see that clear difference and, you know, choose him.
Sound good. Amen. That's, really, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to see the outcome of your ministry. But what you do is you trust in the Lord. You tell them the truth and you trust in the Lord. And sometimes we do get to see the outcome of our ministry, of us sharing the faith and sharing the word. Sometimes you don't, but that's okay.
Amen.
Doesn't change the fact.
Still sow the seed.
Sow the seed, man.
Because you don't know. You don't know. I kind of remember coming back and Davey's.
One soweth, one watereth, but God gives the increase.
And, you know, when Davey was talking about, he witnessed to a guy years ago, never knew if he ever accepted the witness or the gospel. And years ago, he came up on the radio and shared with them that, yeah, I've accepted Jesus Christ. You shared with me the gospel so many years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was awesome for Davey. And, you know, as you were sharing your testimony there, Paul, sharing part of your testimony, is that we all have the testimonies, you know. We didn't walk those things out perfectly.
No.
None of us did. And some took hold of it, grabbed a hold of the council way more quickly, dynamically. Praise God. You see where they're at. Amen. What that means is opportunities now. Opportunities now to share the gospel. Opportunities now to partake of His plan. Opportunities now. He's a redeemer. And a deliverer.
Yeah.
When
I speak to somebody and I see that they're bound up in stuff that is very it's carnal thinking. It's not it's the thinking of the old man. It's not. It reminds me of my experience and the reason why I understand and can minister that situation. But I can only minister to it if you don't receive it. There's no opportunity for the Lord to free you from that stuff. And the process for me was longer than I would have had rather had taken. But, you know, Lord is faithful. And it was a learning process for me because I didn't have any understanding about how faithful and trustworthy the Lord was to accomplish His word. And I didn't understand the implications of faith and how it operates. And He was patient and better to me than I could have ever asked. Better than I could have imagined. And that awaits everybody who will choose Him and His ways and His will believe His word and receive the mercy and grace that is in Jesus Christ and the gospel. Anybody can partake of that who will receive it.
Amen. And it comes down
that's
to choice.
That's how good He is.
Amen. It just comes down to a choice. Like, Scott, that story you're telling me about with your cousin just really paves out it clear. It was his choice to take hold of the things. Paul, what you're just sharing, you can only give out whether they take it or not. But that's a choice that goes for us. That goes for us every day. It's a choice we make to partake of. It's like we wake up in the morning and we got, carnal man, death,
eternal damnation.
Eternal damnation. Or wake up and say, life, peace, joy, more abundantly. Jesus. Oh man, that's shoot.
Life more abundantly.
I tell you what, let's start. Jesus! That's the choice that we have before us. And we can make that choice. We can make that choice. Every day, every morning.
That's why what went before, what happened yesterday, it doesn't matter how screwed up it was or how great it was. Neither one of them is going to do anything to you today. You got to do it again today.
Amen.
It's where you're at today.
And let me tell you something about redemption. You're talking about redemption. You know, I mean, look at the redemption in your life. Look at the redemption in my life. Look at the redemption in James's life. And I'm sharing just people that are on the air. We're looking at the redemption in Scott's life. The mistakes that we've made, He has triumphed over. You're talking about how screwed up the day was before. You know how many of those He's redeemed? Just by choosing to look at Him on Him now? Today?
All
more than I can write. Yeah, all of them. Thank you, Scott. I mean, I can go from story to story to story, but we'll be here for the next 5 hours. No point.
And like a
child. But it,
African.
But not just for me, but for all that are here. We've had that. We've seen that. If you don't see it, then you open those eyes because they're there.
Amen.
Because it's there. He has done a mighty work.
That's right. And, you know, the trueness of Him honoring His word, the terms of that agreement haven't changed from the Garden of Eden until now. It's still about faith. It's still about trust in the Lord. It's still about His righteousness. Because,
well, if it wasn't, we couldn't go forward.
our righteousness is stinks.
Right.
Our righteousness is awful. Our righteousness will buy us a one-way ticket to hell, fire, and damnation.
Exactly. I mean, if it wasn't about His righteousness and it wasn't about what He has done, then we couldn't go forward in that which He has. We couldn't.
Come visit me at my lake house. It's, well, lake of fire, maybe. It's not, you know, not the lake you was thinking about.
It is a lake and you got a front row seat, right?
Yeah, that's right. at you sit there and you look at the testimony of witnesses in Hebrews 11. And the testimony is that they believed God and it was imputed to them for righteousness. That was with Abraham. That was with Noah. That was with Moses. That was with David. Rahab.
And you know what that goes and tells me? That's an opportunity for all of us, too, to believe God.
Samson. Yeah.
And for as the Lord worked in their life, he can work for ours right now.
In the carnal, that's a mixed bag of error and screw-ups. But in the faith of Jesus Christ, they were strong. They availed and partook of his grace and his mercy, and they trusted him for righteousness and not themselves.
Amen. I mean, I love the story of Samson. Was in his death, he destroyed more Philistines than in his whole life.
Yeah.
In his death. He was a screw-up. But you look at the covering when I remember David making that point about when that angel of death came and overshadowed, or was it Steve? I don't know. The point's still the same. Covering the doorposts and lintels of the door. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about how good they are when they went over, when the angel of death went over. They seen the blood, and it was passed over. They seen the blood. They seen the covering, and it was passed over. The same with us. The same with them. Rahab the harlot, Samson, David, Moses. I mean, they had a faith in Jesus. They had a faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
And his covering and his righteousness. That's what's covered them. Because it was Jesus' righteousness that was covered them.
Good.
Not their own.
Available for all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We've been protected from the angel of death. He's good. And it is. It's what we spend most of our time talking about is how good he is, man. He's done this because he chose to do it this way. That's good enough. And that's good for me because I don't know where I shudder to think what I'd be doing if he wasn't that way.
I'd be dead.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. I would not be alive talking to you for Jesus. And it is
grace. But the testimony that he is real and he honors his word is all around us. It's in the people and their experiences. And it's like, you know, you've read Romans 1. It's people, man, we're without excuse. It's just, you don't want to become apostate and start being where Paul talks about in Romans 1, who knowing God, honored him not as God. Like the Pharisees, we don't want to be a Pharisee bound up church. We don't want to be, you know, a Galatians who can't decide which side of this thing we're on. Are we going to be on faith or are we going to be on works? We count righteousness by the law or righteousness by the faith in Jesus Christ. Which is it going to be? You can't straddle that fence. You got to be all in for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Make a choice and make that commitment.
Yeah.
You don't lose a thing, you gain.
Yeah.
As we were sharing, you don't lose a thing, you gain. sustain him, and that's all that matters.
I had, you know, people were delivering, I suppose they were attempting to deliver me the gospel, but it ended up being, why don't you come to church with me? It's like, I'm listening to what you're telling me about what all I need to be doing if I'm a Christian, and I don't really want to be doing any of that stuff. So, it turns out that I was telling the truth, and that truth is a confession. You should go to the Lord with that. He fixes that heart, that desire that doesn't want to do anything that seeks to please him. He fixes that. That's part of the greatness of the Lord. But if you can truthfully confess that that's nothing I want any part of doing. I don't want... Sundays are football days, man. I don't want to be involved in church and other ministerial functions.
Well, when your team just loses every week, then it just doesn't become fun anymore any dang way, Paul. So I don't know why you're bringing that one up.
I didn't say you get to watch them. You know, we learned a long time ago, you don't watch them because
you don't win
when you watch them. So. Well, I think it's a wrap. I thank you all for joining us here with the Hour of Truth. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, everybody.
Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody, and may the Lord bless you. We have Texas coming up at top of the hour, and Arizona at 2. And y'all have a great week.